Welcome everybody, my name is Krush AK and this is the Market Meditations Podcast. We chat with fascinating people from around the world to extract mindsets, routines, stories and habits to help you build richer lives. Meditators, today we have Rookie XBT on the podcast. This is his debut appearance since he's taken the Twitter world by storm. He's shared with us his huge wins and his huge losses, everything transparently. He has given back in giveaways about 30 grand to the community. Let's find out more about this incredible character. Listeners, welcome to another episode of the Market Meditations Podcast. Today, we have a really special guest. Making his debut appearance on a podcast is the Twitter sensation, the Lord of Magnets, Rookie XBT. Welcome, Rookie.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting stuff. Thanks for hyping me up.
It's exciting for me too, man. Everyone's seen Rookie. Rookie's been a sensation this year, but we haven't really heard much of your voice. We don't know the backstory behind the person who's taken Twitter by storm this year.
Thank you. Yep, it's going to be interesting. This is going to be a fun podcast.
So what brought you to Twitter?
Well, I was always on Twitter. I think earlier last year. It's a nice tool, especially for crypto traders, right? It's just a big family sharing their thoughts on crypto. It's great having many eyes on the market. That's what I found. And when I started crypto, I think it was late 2016, I wasn't aware of Twitter at all. And that was a stupid mistake, actually.
What were you aware of at that time?
Well, I started trading crypto when I was, I mean, not crypto, sorry, like trading in general when I was 13. Wow. So that's where it all started. And I actually got started because of a teacher when I was 13. He had a math assignment where he wanted us to, I think it was something to do with percentages, calculating percentages with numbers, something like that, something really simple. And he wanted us to pick 5 stocks, just random companies. And it was interesting because no one's really ever shown that side of the world, or I guess I don't know how I would say it, but yeah. So I chose 5 stocks when I was 13, and so did everybody in our class. There was like 25 people. We all had to choose 5 stocks for math purposes. I chose companies I pretty much saw and used every day. Simple things like Ford, Kraft Dinner, which is like a big mac and cheese brand here. While everybody else just chose companies for the sake of choosing companies. And turns out I chose the 5 companies that sort of gained the most that month. And I won a one, quote unquote, one. So my companies had the biggest sort of ROI in that month. And ever since then, I was really into the thought of having your money work for you in a sense. And so that's where it all started. That was like the very beginning of my trading career, I would say. And at 13, it was a pretty big deal because I was interested in this stuff, but obviously had no money at all. Right? So I asked my dad to lend me some money when I was 14. And he was nice enough to lend me a pretty big sum of money at the time. It was 10K. And at 14, that's a pretty massive deal. Yeah. Because my parents are immigrants, and from day one, they were like hardworking people. And so for them as well, this idea of having your money work for you sort of fascinated them, I guess. And that's how it all started. So I took his money when I was 14, and I started messing around with stocks. It was a huge learning curve. I lost most of it, actually.
Your parents angry?
Yeah. No, they weren't angry. I mean, well, they didn't show it. I think they were really supportive in that sense. Because I messed around with... I was 14, didn't know better. You know, wanted to get rich overnight. So I messed around with things like penny stocks. Marijuana stocks at the time was a big thing. So... you know, they were all super risky plays. Like marijuana stocks back then make these cryptos look like super safe haven assets.
Wow. I have no idea.
It was crazy. And I didn't understand what I was doing really. So yeah, money comes, money goes, but it was going super fast at the time. And yeah, that's how I really started trading, and I lost most of it. And but I learned a lot from it. That was the thing. At 14, when you get that sort of experience, both like managing money and then handling your emotions at such a young age and dealing with the stress of it all, it was really helpful, I think. And it sort of paved the way for me in crypto. But through the years, I've always had skin in the game. I think that's like the biggest advice I can give anybody, just having skin in the game. Never lose it all, because you want to keep messing around with the markets, learning from it. And I'm a firm believer that you need real money in the markets to actually learn. A lot of people do paper trading, and I'm not really a fan of that, because you can never really mimic the emotions of losing real money. Mm-hmm. That's what I found. So yeah, so I traded stocks until I was, I think, 16 or 17 actually, and sort of just got exposed to the crypto world through Ethereum, because I was using a platform called eToro. I think it's pretty big in the UK. eToro.
Yeah, it's huge.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not. It doesn't exist here anymore, but back in the day, it did.
Good riddance.
Yeah, and the big reason I used eToro was because I was able to deposit using PayPal, and that's a big deal for me, because at that age, I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have a bank account. And the only money I had was through writing articles for people. Mm-hmm. People didn't really know how old I was. but they knew I was generally a good trader, because I was pretty active on Facebook. And back in the day, Facebook had their own sort of stock trading mm-hmm. community. So people didn't know how old I was, but they wanted me to write articles related to stocks, because I guess I was decent. So I wrote articles, and in exchange, people paid me, which was crazy for me at the time. It was like simple articles just about trading. They would pay me like $200, and the article took me a couple hours. So it was interesting.
Yeah, so no 17-year-old is making $200
exactly, now. Exactly. It was pretty mind-blowing for me, because I was still in school and making $200. It was just nice. And what I did was I just saved all that money up. And I couldn't really withdraw it, because I didn't have a bank account at the time. And so it was just me hoarding money on my PayPal. And then I just wanted to, you know, use that money and grow it. So I remember every night I would just Google ways to grow your money on PayPal, you know, because I just had to look for platforms that accepted PayPal as a payment method. And there was not many at all. There were like poker sites, and I know I'm not the best poker player, so I avoided that. And finally I came across eToro, and that's where my crypto trading started, because mm-hmm. I traded stocks on eToro, and in 2016, late 2016, early 2017, every day I would log on to eToro, I would see Ethereum as the top gainer every single day, up 50% for like a few weeks straight, and that was absolutely mind blown. But I've never heard of it until one day I decided to look into it. I think it was when Ethereum was at $15. I looked into it. And then I read about the Ethereum Enterprise Alliance, and I was pretty much sold. I was like, okay, this is the future of money. And then that's where it all started. That's when I started putting all the money I had into Ethereum. And I would basically, because I didn't have a bank account again, I would basically send strangers, absolute strangers I met on Facebook, money, and buy Ethereum at a premium, so I can get physical Ethereum, because on eToro, it's not like that. It's just you're trading the mm-hmm. price fluctuations. So if Ethereum was $20, I would pay people $30 for Ethereum just so I can get my hands on it, like physical Ethereum. And I was pretty desperate, but it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, of course. You're set up from that.
Yeah. And I sold most of it, actually. I didn't think it would go to $1,000. I don't think nobody did. But that was amazing. It was, that's how it all started, I guess. And ever since then, I've always had skin in the game, and I was extremely keen on not losing it all. That's the thing I would repeat again and again. Just never lose it all, because you don't want to go bust.
If you lose 90% of your portfolio, you then need to make 1,000% to get that back. It's
exactly.
Capital retention is everything. Every play you make, you need to... I mean, it's difficult. It's why risk management is way harder than the actual trading part. Because if you risk too much, yeah, you lose it all. But if you risk too little, you're never going to make enough to make a difference.
Exactly. But honestly, I'd rather lose 90% than lose it all, you know? It's just something about having money and skin in the game that you just can't beat. I remember, I learned it the hard way, actually. In 2018, I got super emotional with trading, I guess. And because I had, like everybody, I had a huge like run up in 2017, where I turned, like, I had 5K to start the year, and I turned that into about 150K, just closing my eyes and longing the heck out of Ethereum. And it worked. It worked great until it didn't. And so I made a ton of money, and then I lost a ton of money. And pretty much going into 2018, I lost, I would say, 90% of what I made. So I was left with not much. And I put that money into OMG, Omisego. Super hyped up project. And I fell for the McDonald's meme, skateboard meme, everything. I fell for everything. Like, it trapped
so
my
did
money.
I, man. So did I. I lost on OMG hard. Like, the tax write-off was nice, but that was about it.
Yeah, that was about it. That was like the only thing you can take away from that. It was absolutely horrible. And I got in at like $20, and I wrote it out all the way down to like $2. I had a lot of faith in it, like most of us did, actually, but... Yeah, it was just horrible. And what I did was, after I started losing money, I started levering up on it. And that didn't end well, obviously. But yeah, so I lost a lot of my money, and I got really desperate. I didn't know what to do, because I knew crypto was the next big thing. I knew what it was capable of, you know, sort of returning in terms of P&L or profits. But I just didn't really have money. So I wrote it up, and then I wrote it all the way back down, and I didn't have skin in the game. So I got desperate. I think I posted this some time ago on Twitter, mm-hmm. how I wanted to get credit cards and get cash advances on credit cards. So take money from these credit cards and put it into crypto, which is like the – one rule, one thing you don't do.
Yeah.
But I did it anyways, because peak degenerate and really believed in crypto, and I didn't want to sit in the sidelines ever at any point, because as you can see and as you know, things can change in a minute, and it can go from bear market to mega bull, and then you don't want to be on the sidelines just watching.
When do you stop? So you always want to have skin in the game, but with such a high risk approach where the net worth can fluctuate so much, when is it enough for rookie? When is it like, oh, okay, I've made enough now, time to scale it back?
That's a good question. That's something I'm figuring out as I go, actually. Like, in 2017, I had a target of 6 figures. And when I hit that, greed gets the best of you, and then you just want more. And it's just sort of, I think everybody deals with this, actually, some more than others, but it's crazy. It's crazy. Human emotions are, the human brain is crazy, and you want more. When you have it all, you want more. And that's sort of where I'm at this year. I've hit figures that I never thought was possible, especially this soon. The figures I'm hitting right now, and I mean it in the humblest way possible, is, never in my wildest imaginations. These numbers are things I had in mind. Peak bull market, Bitcoin, 100K. Those are the sorts of numbers I...
Wow.
And yeah, DeFi worked out really well, and I'm here.
What changed? What changed this year? Was it just a lucky bull run, or was it a lesson you learned from the previous one that finally made you reach these numbers?
Well, so last year, okay, everything was not that great until this year, right? So last year, I was just hodling a coin and it wasn't working well. So what I did was I used that coin as collateral to get a loan, because there's a lot of these platforms out there. So that's what I did. And that didn't work out. I nearly got liquidated there. Yeah, I'm pretty degen. All the listeners are going to question their following. Who they're following.
You're transparent about it, man. No one's going to question anything.
I'm not going to show
your name is Rookie.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rookie for a reason. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because I feel like too often people do that, and everybody that's getting, you know, new to the space don't really know what they're getting into. So, yeah,
there's a level of risk which even the most calculated quant traders are taking, because there is no solid evidence, and this is coming from someone with a strong statistical background. There is no solid evidence that even the past data has any correlation whatsoever to future events. So even if you've got all the data in the world backing up your decisions, even that to a degree is degen. I mean, we're traders. We're all gamblers to some degree.
Exactly. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just every day is actually, you've got to expect the unexpected in these markets, right? And it's crazy. So yeah, that's what I did. I started with, I think the exact number was around 25K earlier this year. And I had a huge run up. I was never a, you know, there's no real method to my madness. It's just, it doesn't, like, I can't really explain it. It only makes sense in my head. There's no strategy. Like, I saw you post on Twitter what people wanted to ask me, and they're asking me things like if I'm a swing trader, scalp trader, what indicators I use, things like that. And really, there's nothing. There's really, it's just lines, throw a magnet on it. There's no method to my madness. It's just sort of understanding the market sentiment and having an eye for these things more than anything, really. And it's just, yeah, I got really lucky with the whole DeFi hype and just trying to catch momentum earlier than most. And that's what really helped me, in the power of compound, actually. So
would you say your trading is purely discretionary? You do what your instinct tells you to do.
Exactly. There's no better way to put it. It's just a lot of gut feeling and a lot of just sort of understanding and taking in what I've seen in the past and then just applying it. That's really what it is. There's no secret sauce. It's really that simple. It's just riding the momentum up and being a net bull in a bull market.
Rookie, that is pretty mind-blowing to me. Does that scare you at all? That the discretion is perhaps just an anomaly. Right now, you've reverted from you've gone away from the mean. You're a standard deviation or two up, and you're just going to come back down to the mean if you keep this up. Right now, if you're doing fantastically, and it's purely based on discretion, what gives you the confidence to keep going?
Well, yeah, of course. I think everybody sort of fears that, but as long as my mean is higher than what it was before, you know, like I fully expect, that's what I keep on saying on Twitter. It's any pullback or any drawdown I experience, I consider it a higher low in my net worth. So I don't expect my, you know, returns or my net worth to go parabolic like it has this year. Every month this year I've hit a new high, except last month, and last month wasn't really that nice, but I fully expect it. I prepare myself mentally for these sort of jawdowns, because if it's too good to be true, it usually is.
And that's such a good saying, especially in the crypto space. It applies to so many things.
Exactly. And yeah, and like I said, I had a huge drawdown in September, but I would not change anything I did, because it's what helped me make all that money in the prior six or seven months. So there's no reason. I just milked the cow until it stopped producing milk, I guess. So,
what changed in September? Just the market conditions? That's the only thing?
Yeah, I was pretty bullish on DeFi, and obviously that sort of came to an end.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was pretty overexposed to that. It made me a lot of money, and then it took a lot away from me.
I'd like to go back to something you said earlier, and that was with regards to paper trading. So I have a slightly different stance on that, simply because paper trading has benefited me in my own trading quite a bit. So I'm an advocate for it, and not purely paper trading. I don't think you can go from paper trading to throwing 100K on the board and working with that. So that's the like black and white view. I personally prefer a gray area in the middle, where you start on paper trading. You get a base set of data that shows you know somewhat what to do. Then you put a little bit of money in. You get comfortable with that amount of money. You take it up a little bit. You get comfortable with that amount of money. You take it up a little bit. And how much? Well, that depends on the person. If you're a CEO earning six figures a year, then obviously you can start off with $5,000. If you're someone working a regular minimum wage job, then maybe start with $100. That's my approach, and then slowly scale up. Would you disagree with that gray area approach?
No, I totally agree with that. Yeah, that's definitely a nice approach, because you got to learn the ins and outs. Like, this, just the simple stuff. And paper trading is definitely the way to go for that. But what I have a problem with is people start paper trading and then they think they can handle, you know, whatever the market has to throw at them. And that's just not the case. You might trade great, but it's the emotions of losing real money that trading is more emotional than anything. So it's just the emotions that of losing real money that paper trading can really never replicate, in my opinion.
Then you've been trading with real money since you were 14. That gives you more emotional experience than most of the people in the Twitter space. What is the most important things when it comes to managing these emotions?
I guess this too shall pass. Any drawdowns you experience, like I said, just think of it as a short-term thing. Just manage your emotions. Like, you know you're going to make it. It'll all be all right. Any drawdowns you experience, any losses you take, it is what it is. That's the mentality I have going into any trade. It is what it is.
But what happens when that drawdown doesn't pass?
Good question. I guess you just hope it does.
Ricky, I love your energy, man. It's literally your Twitter account is quite eccentric, and I love that it actually is you. Your transparency shines through, and I love the genuineness of it, and how open you are with your audience about your approach. It literally is exactly as you tweet. Sometimes I think, is he just tweeting to be funny, or does he actually mean that? Nah, Rookie's 100% real all the time.
Thank you.
No worries at all. Now, moving a little bit away from trading, one amazing thing you've done, which I really appreciate from an entrepreneurial business perspective, is you've ran an innovative, awesome referral link campaign with Bybit, where you've taken this approach that you've given genuine value to people. You're like, hey, I'll give you money back if you support my referral link. And it's worked tremendously. What was your mindset going into that? How did you come up with that idea?
Well, for one, my Twitter account growing was a big thing, and it sort of was unexpected, actually. I started the year with like 1,000 followers or something, and now it's almost at 40K. So I didn't really want to shill anything because I got a lot of offers, but I was very keen on just keeping my page as clean as possible. And a good way to do that was just referral link. And I noticed that everybody can, or anybody can really put out a referral link. And I realized I had to be super different if I wanted any sort of edge here. So yeah, that's sort of my thinking behind paying people to use my referral link. It's just giving back, a little of what I make, and everybody wins at the end of the day.
How much have you given back at this point?
I think I've given back between my affiliate link and just random giveaways on Twitter. I think about 3 Bitcoin.
free Bitcoin, so about 33K right now. That is insane, man. I love it. That's a huge investment into the people supporting you.
Yeah, that's what I think of it as, just an investment, and everybody wins and everybody's happy. So, yep, win-win.
Absolutely. And I, again, appreciate that. It's judging from your personality and what you've said, I'm not sure you even thought that through in great detail.
Not at all.
I think you were just like instincts telling me, if I give people money, they'll want to do this. So let's go for it.
No thought, no thinking behind it at all. just full YOLO, and it works out. So that's great.
Your instincts have been serving you well so far, and they even led to you, I saw, buy a whole bunch of Pokemon cards. How's that gone for you?
That was great. recently, I've seen a lot of people post about it. I mean, tweet about it. Started feeling a bit of FOMO myself and realized it's a real nice way to sort of cash out in a sense. And it is an asset at the end of the day, I feel. So, yeah, I got in touch with Nikos on Twitter, and he's really big into these cards and pieces of cardboard. I really don't understand what I put my money into, but I took his word for it, and I saw that price was going up, and anything with the, not anything, but most things with the limited supply go up over time. So yeah, I put through money at it, and it's working out great so far. It's crazy. I think up 60% in a week, which is insane.
In 1 week. Wow.
Yeah.
How much did you invest into the cards, if you don't mind me asking?
So I bought 4 pieces of cardboard for about 20K 2 weeks ago. And then I put another like 25K yesterday. So, yep.
It sounds
extremely stupid when I say it out loud, actually.
I would disagree that, because we can deconstruct this, scale it back a bit. And what do we have? We have, like you said, scarce supply, limited number of these assets. We have one of the strongest brands in the world. Where can you go and not have everyone, or at least 9 out of 10 people in a room, not know what Pokemon is? And then we've got this OG initial generation, which is from I think 1999. And if you think about it, that's I'm not sure how old you are, but I'm guessing our ages aren't too dissimilar based on your timeline and story. That's our generation. Like, whoever's 20 to 35 right now, they grew up on Pokemon, and now they have the money to invest in these assets, to buy these assets. It all does make sense.
Exactly. Growing up, I was an avid collector, but not really a collector, just got the cards for the sake of getting the cards, because a lot of my friends had it. So being in the position, I guess, to be able to acquire these cards is a big deal for me. So I think that's a big reason why I did it. And yeah, like you said, scarce asset. And seeing a lot of celebrities recently buying these cards, and I guess propping up the markets. And it's really nice. I didn't really get it because, I mean, I didn't get it because I wanted to make money off them, I guess. I just got it because it's a really cool thing to have. I want to keep it. I want to keep them forever. And yeah, the price going up is just a nice little bonus, I guess.
So the Pokemon cards really are a part of your investment strategy. And I mean, that's pretty awesome. It makes sense. And it's just a place you've allocated your assets. It's like buying gold with a long-term perspective in mind. Now, long-term perspective with Pokemon cards is definitely a lot more risky than that, because I'd say they're a very niche asset class where they could go down to a couple hundred in 10 years, or they could go up to 100,000 in 10 years. Who knows what's going to happen there?
Exactly. So gold, similar to, you can purchase gold with Bitcoin. So I've been doing that as well. It's diversifying. This is my version of diversifying, buying gold and Pokemon cards. So
anything else you've been buying besides those?
No, not really, actually. I should start doing that.
Well, you're in a space where all of us are into investing and creating, generating wealth. So a lot of the friends in the Twitter space can give you some pointers and point you in the right direction with regards to that. What about fun things? What fun things have you spent what fun things have you bought with your 2020 gains?
Well, I think everybody knows this at this point, but I got the watch and I got a car, which is, I mean, if you told me last year that I was going to buy a watch and a car, I would be like, you're kidding me, right? So, yeah, I felt the need to splurge a bit. And yeah, 2020 has been a really wild year. And it's really nice seeing physical things and seeing, you know, all that paying off, I guess. And yeah, so the watch and the car, those are the two things, and probably the only two things for a while.
So you've got the watch and the car. Well, what's the next goal for Ricky?
Hopefully diversifying into like real world assets, property, real estate. Not quite there yet, but and a big thing is I just want to keep as much money as possible in crypto, especially at this point in the game. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have a similar mindset. I don't see the point in taking money out of crypto at the moment. I'm just super bullish right now, so I don't see a point in that. So I want to keep as much money as I can in crypto and just stay as exposed to it for a couple of years and then see where everything goes from there.
Okay, no, that's the first time I've seen some sort of exit plan for Rookie, which definitely makes me happy because I absolutely want you to keep all of these hard-earned gains and yep, keep getting Pokemon cards and Mercedes and watches. So love that. Now, you are extremely bullish and euphoric on Twitter. That comes across strongly. Is that how bullish you feel as well? Do you genuinely get excited and overjoyed with price movements and what Twitter is doing? And how does that come into your emotional management?
Well, I am a perma bull in a sense, but I'm not always bullish. Like in March, I think most of my money made this year came from shorting the Corona liquidity crisis dump in March. I had a fair bit of foresight there, but yeah, I'm largely bullish and I'm outspoken on Twitter about it because if number goes up, everybody makes money. Everybody's happy at the end of the day. That's why we're all here, right? So, I mean, if you lose money when the market's going up, I think you're doing it wrong. So, yeah, that's why I'm really outspoken and pretty euphoric on Twitter because I know that in general, if the number's going up, most people are making money, and if most people make money, I'm happy for them. So, yeah, why not?
Similarly happy when people are making money. I mean, the bull market Twitter is so much more exciting and fun.
Exactly.
Way more happy, exciting. Everyone's fighting. There's no drama. So speaking of which, how has networking through Twitter helped you and your journey?
Yeah. It's amazing, actually. It's something I didn't really expect going into this year. Growing the Twitter account opened a ton of doors for me. And I've realized that having a big following is a huge advantage here. It's like just the simple things like pre-sales opened a ton of doors there. And it was something I was previously unaware of. But there's a lot of money there, so money to be made there, and wouldn't have been possible without a huge following on Twitter. And yeah, like getting a lot of offers for, you know, businesses and mm-hmm. companies just approaching me. It's really cool. It's really humbling. And yeah, it's crazy, 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 crazy.
And what advice would you give to someone trying to build up their Twitter account so they can get access to these networking benefits, this brand equity, the ability to get into pre-sales?
I wouldn't say that my Twitter growing was any – I don't think there was any skill involved, actually. Maybe – I don't know. It's just a lot of luck, timing, and I guess Twitter algorithms just picking me up. I wouldn't say it's skill. It's just you got to get lucky. And it's just there's moments where I gained like 1,000 followers in a day, and it was just Twitter algorithms just picking me up. And yeah, you just got to stay consistent with it and don't really do it for the followers, just do it for the sake of providing content. And the followers and the money that comes is just a byproduct of it.
You absolutely led to what I think are the two key points when it comes to building a following. Luck it exists, but I don't think it matters in the least, because if you're consistent enough, if you're always putting yourself out there, eventually it's just a numbers game. One time you will, it's binary. You'll either be lucky or you won't. One time you'll be lucky and you'll make it. You just got to be consistent and keep putting the effort in and day out. But also it's harder and less long-term rewarding if you're just doing that with trash. So you need to actually deliver some sort of value to people. You did that through great technical analysis, plus the awesome magnets. And you also did it through your referral link, givebacks, and also entertainment, because we've seen you're genuine, you're passionate about this, and that energy is contagious.
Yeah, that's. I think you're right on track there, exactly.
Now, going way back, right at the start of the conversation, you said something really interesting I wanted to bring up, but didn't quite find the moment to do so, and that was education. Your maths teacher, I believe you said, gave you an experiment with stocks. Now, that is incredible because no one teaches that. The average child doesn't know anything about the stock market, inflation, how to invest, assets versus liabilities. But you got that exposure really, really early. And now here you are.
Right. I need to thank that teacher, actually. He like really changed my life when I think about it. I don't know where he is, but yeah, it played a big role. It's amazing. Just the simplest thing. It was just me picking five stocks and look where I'm at now. It's really dope.
That's because education is the key to changing a lot of these sorts of things, because wealth is not distributed equally, because knowledge is not distributed equally. And we need more incredible teachers like that who do instill these correct values. Maybe he could have instilled a little more risk management into you, but we'll give him a pass to that. What do you have any particular thoughts on education, the importance of it, how it should be changed, what young people in general should know that they don't know?
Yeah, money management, that's a big thing in my opinion, just how to handle your money. And like I said, that teacher had a big influence. And if, you know, not many people get exposed to that, like you said, and being exposed to something like that at a young age really opened my eyes and helped me realize that there's multiple ways out there to make money. There's multiple hustles out there, and you just got to look for what you're passionate about and just go full force, go all out.
Do you have any non-crypto hustles right now?
Non-crypto hustles? No, I do not, actually.
Is that something you're thinking about?
Of course, yeah. I think everybody should think about non-crypto hustles. And I haven't really figured that out myself. But yeah, if you have any suggestions.
Do I have any suggestions? Well, your Twitter brand would be my first one. You can expand that out into a lot of different areas. I mean, stuff you have interest in. Pokemon cards is a great example. If that's something you're genuinely passionate about, people love that. Like, you pick up something your audience is also receptive to, and you can start moving into that space. Use your brand equity to build a network. And I don't know how much detail you wanted in this answer, but that would be my approach if I had the Rookie brand, because it's a great brand. You're really good at marketing and engaging genuinely with people. So if you want to move out of crypto, move Rookie out of crypto. Not out, but diversify Rookie my suggestion for that.
That's a great idea, actually. It's just everything grew super fast, so sort of catching up to everything and learning as I go. And people like you, you're leading by example. And yeah, I got to thank you for that. Your videos, everything you do is amazing for the space. So,
oh, thank you, man. I did genuinely do with everything I do. The reason it is so satisfying and rewarding, the reason I'm 110% into crypto, is because I believe in crypto. I know you believe in crypto. Your tweets show it. You've said it throughout this interview. And not only do I think it's bullish and it'll make people money, but it's got genuine potential to make a difference in the world. It can bank the unbanked. It can people a bank. It can slowly phase out these inefficient middlemen, which are the banks and the current financial system. They just drain value from society. They don't create or build anything. They just leech. That's all they do. They just make money. That's all they make. They don't actually contribute to society in a way that's necessary anymore because we have all these different options.
Exactly. I'm the same way. If you believe in something, just go off, just back it 100%, right? And crypto is that. There's not a day that goes by where I don't talk about it with my family, friends. You just believe it and spread the love, spread the knowledge.
Getting family and friends involved, that's always a little bit dangerous.
Oh, it is. It really is. But I'm confident enough with it. I only tell people to risk what they can afford to lose. And thankfully, the people around me are comfortable, I guess, with their financial situation. So, yeah, crypto is the future. So, you know, I want to get as many people involved as I can, because I don't want to really regret in 5 years down the line if crypto does take off like I think it would. I don't want to be the one that, you know, I don't want to feel guilty for not letting friends and family in. Yeah, that's just me.
I think that's an important thing when we generate wealth, to give back. Not give back even, but genuinely spread it. So when I'm doing pretty well for my age, a lot better than a lot of my friends. And what I like to do is integrate them into what I'm doing, get them involved. If I have business opportunities, I get them in, because it's no fun being the only person with money. Exactly. You want your friends and family rich so you can do cool stuff together.
Right, exactly. You can't, it's just impossible. You can't just make money and then show it off, you know. It's not fun being at the top alone. You got to bring everybody with you. And same way with Twitter. I consider Twitter a family too. So you got to spread the love and take everyone to the top with you.
It comes back round. It really does. I mean, this podcast you're on right now, the reason I'm doing this is because Scott Melker told me, hey, Krush, you'd be really good at this. You should start a podcast. It's awesome. You get to talk to talented, incredible people, and eventually you'll get paid for it. And I was like, oh, that does sound pretty cool to me.
Yeah, and you're a natural at it, so it all works out.
Oh, thank you, man. I do genuinely try to make these episodes as value-driven and entertaining for the listeners as possible. I feel we've gone over a lot of topics which people have gained value from. The mindset when it comes to trading, the importance of education. We've talked about also lighter topics like how to spend those gains, how to spread it across your friends and family. Like, on that topic, what are things you've done to help spread the wealth? How do you get the friends into it besides telling them about crypto?
I mean, that's all I did, really, tell them about crypto. And then
that's what you get, guys.
Yeah, you just got to be upfront with it and, you know, just tell them what you think and why you dedicate so much of your life to it. And you just hope they understand. And if they don't, okay, but you did your best to spread the knowledge, and what they do is up to them.
Precisely. Rookie, when we get to the end of podcasts, a really fun question I like to ask the more trading focused guests is, could you please share with us the trade you've taken that you are most proud of? Now, that doesn't have to be the one that's made you the most money, just one that really resonates with you and makes you happy when you think about it, which might be the one that's made you the most money, or one which you executed perfectly. And then the flip side as well, the worst trade you have ever taken, which maybe it's OMG, I'm not sure, but the worst trade you've ever taken that you're really like, oh, I wish I didn't do that. Maybe not lost you the most money, but was just really stubborn or stupid.
Okay, so my best trade, I'll take, so 2017 best trade, long in Ethereum, and then the worst trade would be losing it all on OMG. But this year, the best trade would be shorting the whole Corona situation. Got really lucky there. I didn't really understand what was happening, and that played a big role in me shorting it. Just didn't understand, confused. Saw like all these celebrities, I think it was Tom Hanks that got Corona, NBA, the basketball shut down that day. It was March 11th, I think it was. Just all this Corona-related news coming up. So I just shorted with like pretty decent size, and woke up the next day, the market's been down like 40%. And it was crazy, but I think that was the key moment this year for me, surviving and actually coming out on top after that Corona dump, whereas most people didn't. And I got really lucky there, and that's where it all started. And then it was just like a snowball effect compounding. Yeah, that would be my best trade. And the worst trade would be all of September, actually. The whole month, it was just, I was really overexposed to DeFi. And yeah, I made it on the Binance leaderboard like everybody saw it. And I was probably at the top 10 on Binance leaderboard and also at the bottom 10 because I lost quite a bit of money. But yeah, that, it happens. And DeFi lost quite a bit of money in September on it. But higher lows, that's what all I got to say, higher lows.
Calling that September crash, March crash, was that just instinct? Did you see the news and you thought, I really think this is going to go down? Were there previous events that led you to have the confidence to short that with size?
Yeah, it was a lot of it was instinct, not skill, just instinct. But the skill would be seeing things like this in prior years, like China banning crypto a handful of times in 2017 and seeing the drops that that created, and like ETF denials in the past. It was a lot. There's a lot of similarities there. And I saw people panicking, and I saw like the dollar that was gaining strength. It just like I had an eye for these little things, and it played a big role in me going short heavy and waking up the next day to all these riches.
Well, Rookie, that is incredible. Awesome. I love everything that you've shared. Thank you so much for your time and coming on to this podcast. I really appreciate it. And I'm really glad that your first ever podcast is on the Market Meditations podcast. Now, is there anything you'd like to leave our audience with before we wrap up this episode?
Well, not really, but thanks for listening, I guess. And then, yeah, it was great being on this podcast, my first ever podcast. Yeah, you made it really comfortable. So thank you for that.
My pleasure. And because you didn't shill it, I'm going to shill it for you. Guys, make sure you follow Rookie on Twitter. He has an awesome channel. It's really great, genuine content. It'll help with your trading. It'll make you happy. It'll make you laugh. So check him out, follow his journey and see where he ends up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Market Meditations podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like us to continue bringing you fascinating people from across the world, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you like to listen to these podcasts, and share the episode with a friend. If you have feedback or an idea for a potential guest, reach out to me on Twitter at KarushAK, and do not forget we write a newsletter covering all important topics in crypto and traditional markets. We send it out 3 times a week. The Market Meditations newsletter. You also get early access to these episodes, and you get transcripts and extra notes as well. So make sure to subscribe there as well.